What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Tuesday afternoon, August 19th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. Major back-to-school savings can be found in resale stores. We'll cover that in our next segment. But first, housing starts unexpectedly climbed last month while Wall Street looks to the Federal Reserve for potential rate cuts. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Gus, thank you for joining us today. Housing starts tick higher in the month of July, leading the way apartment construction. And what does this tell us about the economy?
The housing market, although we did see an improvement in starts in July, I think the housing market is still soft. We're dealing with mortgage rates that are much higher than they were a few years ago. Housing affordability remains a problem. We're going to see higher prices for building materials because of tariffs. So even though we had this one-month increase in July, I think that housing is going to remain soft through the rest of this year and then into 2026.
And what is going to change the math in the housing sector? Is it going to be potentially some tariff relief, or is it going to be the Fed cutting interest rates in an appreciable way?
I think it's going to be the latter. I think that we will see rate cuts from the Fed over the next 6 months or so. That will help push down mortgage rates somewhat. It's not a one-to-one correlation between Fed cuts and mortgage rates, because mortgage rates tend to be tied more closely to long-term economic activity. But I do think that we will see mortgage rates move lower over the next 9 months or so. That will help improve affordability somewhat. I think the labor market will probably look a little bit stronger in early 2026, and that should drive some housing activity as well. But I think things are likely to remain subdued in the housing market in the near term.
When it comes to correlation and causation at the same time, if the Fed were to cut interest rates at their meeting in September, is there a formula that determines, you know, how the housing markets reacts to a quarter point cut versus a half point cut?
The correlation between short-term rates, the Fed funds rate, which is an overnight rate, and 30-year mortgage rates is pretty low. So mortgage rates are more driven by what's going on with inflation, what's going on with the economy overall. So, we would expect to see just small reactions in mortgage rates to Fed fund rates cuts, but I think it will, over time, result in somewhat lower mortgage rates. And then I do think that, we will see a slowing in economic growth. That's obviously not good for the economy, but that will help push mortgage rates a bit lower, and that should support some stronger housing activity next year.
So in other words, if you are a frustrated first-time home buyer or veteran home buyer looking for some sort of relief, you won't find it from the Fed, but you will find it from the 10-year yield.
That's exactly right, that mortgage rates are much more closely tied to what's going on with the 10-year yield. I do think we will get some relief there. But, you know, I think to some extent, you know, we've been through a period of 15, 20 years where mortgage rates have been historically low. We're returning to a period where mortgage rates are more towards their long-run average. So over the longer run, I wouldn't expect to see mortgage rates much below 6%.
And then when it comes to apartment construction, you have to be making a pretty substantial bet on the trajectory of the economy if you want to build a multi-unit building.
That's right. And we've also had a lot of building over the last 4 or 5 years since the recovery from the pandemic. So there's a lot of supply that's come online. That's put downward price pressure on rents. So I think that multifamily construction is likely to remain subdued. And again, developers, it's difficult for them to borrow to fund this construction with high interest rates. So multifamily, I think, is going to remain soft in 2025 into 2026.
Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, saving money on back-to-school clothing and supplies while helping out a worthy cause.
Lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
More families are turning to Goodwill, resale stores, and even pawn shops for their back-to-school shopping needs. Let's discuss the strategy with Jennifer Waters, Chicago-based business reporter. And Jennifer, this is part of a larger trend. You know, we used to call it, you know, secondhand, but now it has a new name. It's vintage. It's pre-loved. And that getting something from a resale shop or even a pawn shop doesn't have the, for lack of a better word, stigma it once had.
Right. Hello, Rob. Thanks for having me. Yeah, you're absolutely right. There was a stigma, certainly when I was in high school and college, that, you know, you were shopping at a Goodwill or a Salvation Army because you were just plain poor. And now it's, you know, you don't have to be poor. You know, part of this, of course, is being driven by the economic uncertainties around and what, you know, some of the tariffs might do to clothing, furniture, electronics and such prices. But you go into some of these places and you can get some really good products. You know, my daughter is a prime example. She brags about what she gets at these stores, and you know, some of it still has price tags on it. So you can also go, like, you know, if you look at a pawn shop or like a Goodwill or Salvation Army, you know, the nicer suburb or part of the city you're in, the nicer stuff you're going to get because a lot of people just donate.
Well, I remember when I was in college, this was my first apartment outside of the dorms, and my roommates and I went to a Salvation Army to get a couch to furnish this apartment. And it was a nice couch, Jennifer, but the first question I got when I said to an adult, I purchased a couch from the Salvation Army. This is 25 years ago, and the first response was, okay, who died on it? That's the kind of stigma we were talking about when it comes to stuff from a secondhand store. But now you go to the Salvation Army, and this is all part of, it's social media driven. This is how I was able to achieve this look for $15, and I got this from Goodwill, and doesn't it look very cool? And now you're stylish. Now this is fashion forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, you know, a lot of people brag about this stuff. You know, there's the pawn shop things, it's thrift stores, you know, like Goodwill, Salvation Army. But then there's also the consignment stores where you can go into them and you can get a nice, again, stuff that still might have its price tag on there. But you can get some really good stuff in there because that is somebody's bringing it in. The clothes or the shoes or anything that you're getting out of there has already been cleaned. And it's, you know, and it's in good shape. They won't accept it otherwise. And you go in there and you can get some designer names in there, even jewelry, like a Tiffany, you know, bracelet or something in some of these consignment shops for a fraction of what you might pay for them wholesale.
And also, how much of this is driven by a greater awareness of sustainability? Because I think I mentioned this before, but Ginger Z, formerly a Channel 5, now on Good Morning America, yeah, she has made a big cause on her social media to point out that everything she wears on TV is secondhand. She does not buy anything new. It comes from somebody else or some other entity as part of a larger environmental sustainability effort. And that seems to be sinking in for a lot of people.
Yes, that's exactly right. And there are a lot of people, especially, you know, you look at millennials, for example, they're really into kind of secondhand chain stores too. You know, think of a store like Plato's, I don't know how you pronounce it. That's been around for a good, God, I want to say 15, 20 years at least. And they've been a secondhand chain store that has done really well. And you get, especially now with people kind of tight on money and wanting to, you know, worried about spending because of the uncertainty ahead. That's, you know, those stores are getting really, really popular, and they're giving people really good quality things at discounted prices.
Jennifer Waters, Chicago-based business reporter, thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. Coming up next, there are important risks to consider when you co-sign on a loan. We'll give you the do's and don'ts. It's
cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Agreeing to be a co-signer or guarantor on a loan carries major financial and relationship risks, and doing your homework and understanding the commitment before signing is key. We welcome in Ed Jurtzen, certified financial planner, founder of the Engage Wealth Group in Chicago, and you can find him online at theengagewealthgroup.com. Ed, thank you for joining us today. And it seems like this is yet another financial issue that begins with communication.
Yeah, Rob, this is one of the more challenging areas that we assist clients with. And you've got to be very discerning when being asked to be a co-signer or guarantor. You know, whether it's a loan or a lease or a rental or anything like that, you've got to be really careful and conscientious before engaging in that. Because, again, if it doesn't turn out well, a lot of not only financially could it be a hit, but also from a relationship standpoint can also be a hit.
Now, normally, it seems like the most common occurrence is a parent co-signing for a child. But what are some relationships or what kind of arrangements exist outside of families?
Yeah, I mean, you bring up a good point. It could be families, it could be friends, it could be anybody asking you for a little bit of assistance. And again, being a co-signer and a guarantor, when you lend people money, right, there's a finite amount at risk. So again, whether it's a friend, a colleague, or anybody, you can lend them money, there's a finite amount at risk. But once you become a co-signer or a guarantor, you become legally responsible for potentially a whole lot more. And so whether it's friends and or family, again, be very discerning before signing on the bottom line.
If you want to do that friend or relative a solid, what are some things that you need to know before you do that? What do you need to know about the person who's making the request? And what are some of the risks? What are some of the risks that you run by co-signing?
I think first and foremost, knowing the person more than just their name and the fact that they're related to you is important. So what kind of credit score does this person have? If they're asking you to co-sign or guarantee some sort of a loan or a rental payment, you know just definitively that they are challenged financially. And again, whether it's a bad credit score or bad credit history. So that alone, you know, you've got to be very careful about. So by them asking you literally gives you the right to get that information. So that's first and foremost. But then again, secondly, being liable for someone else's debt. As a co-signer, you're liable from day one. As a guarantor, after there's an event, sort of like not just following through in terms of having a landlord or a bank coming after you, again, just being very, very careful about signing these documents because you don't want to lose a relationship. But again, I would rather lose that relationship up front by saying no than saying yes and getting embroiled in one of these elements where all of a sudden, again, friends and family and finances are intermingled in a bad way.
Ed Jurtzen, certified financial planner, founder of the Engage Wealth Group in Chicago. Find him online at theengagewealthgroup.com. Still ahead in Travel Tuesday, Halloween is getting bigger and bigger at theme parks, especially near Orlando.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is Chicago's News Traffic and Weather Station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. Markets are mixed right now. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist with CFRA Research in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Sam, thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. It seems like the big story of the day is the NASDAQ, which has sold off over 1%.
Hello, Rob. Yes, the NASDAQ has sold off. Investors seem to be taking profits in some of the recent high flyers, such as Advanced Micro Devices and NVIDIA, two semiconductor firms that have done quite well. Next week, NVIDIA will report profits, and so possibly investors are saying, let's take the money and run.
I know market timing is a fool's errand most of the time, but when does it really become obvious to investors that, you know, maybe it's time to put some cash in your pocket here?
Well, some investors have been trying to figure that out, and they look to seasonality. Typically, we find that August and September have been very challenging months for the market, posting average declines since World War II. What's worse is September, it has more frequently fallen than it has risen. So investors feel that maybe they should be taking some profits. But I don't know. My philosophy is every time I try to jump the gun, I only end up shooting myself in the foot.
Home Depot popped today off of its second quarter earnings report. Even though sales came in or earnings came in below expectations, they held on to their they didn't change their guidance for the rest of the year. And was that really kind of the that was those are the magic words for investors, it sounds like.
That seems so, with most of the retailers this week expected to post year-on-year declines, because Home Depot actually posted numbers that were not as bad as had been anticipated, then investors, in a sense, breathed a sigh of relief because they had already built in disappointments into the share prices. So we're expected to hear from some more retailers, but I don't think we're going to get very encouraging news.
Of course, central bank leaders from around the world will all gather in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, for the Fed's annual economic symposium. And I love these types of stories, Sam, because there's a lot of Kremlinology going on here. Everyone trying to parse phrases and body language with the tenacity of a Taylor Swift fan trying to figure out clues on her next album. And what can we get out of this conference this week?
Well, investors have been doing this for decades. They used to look at the thickness of Alan Greenspan's portfolio to decide whether the Fed would be raising or lowering interest rates. I think that Fed Chair Powell is going to remind us that they are data dependent, they are independent from political pressure, and that they will do what the data tells them to do, which right now is a bit conflicting in terms of inflation remaining sticky, but the overall economy starting to lose steam.
Yeah, it really is. It's kind of an inflection point, if you want to call it that, for the Fed, because inflation is picking up. And I guess if you want to cut rates at the next meeting just based on the employment numbers, you could say this is a tariff-driven one-off. But is that a responsible move?
Well, the Fed has to be aiming at a target that is below the horizon. So what it does today will have an effect 12 to 18 months from now. So I think the Fed also wants to make sure that they're not too late to try to add a little bit of stimulus to the overall economy. And since retail represents 70% of our economy, if the employment picture continues to weaken, then I think that's what's going to make them act.
Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist at CFRA Research in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Travel Tuesday, heading to a theme park to celebrate Halloween, and you don't have to wait until October 31st.
Cashing in with conversation, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday, sponsored by Preflight Airport Parking. Halloween arrives earlier than ever at U.S. theme parks, with Disney and Universal unveiling spooky attractions this month to boost attendance and to ride the wave of America's Halloween obsession. Joining us to discuss what scary stuff you can find in Orlando at Universal and at Walt Disney World is Melissa McAllister, travel planner with Ticket to Ride in Chicago. Find her on Facebook and Instagram at Dreammaker Melissa. Melissa, thank you for joining us today. Now, when we were kids, the Halloween season began on October 23rd. That is when you could catch It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown on TV. But now, at Disney World and at Universal, the Hollywood season begins in August, and it's a great way to cash in.
That is correct. Actually, Disney World started their Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party last week. Disneyland started this week, and at the end of the month, Universal Studios will be doing the same thing, and the Disney Cruise Lines, beginning September, does Halloween on the High Seas. So everyone's cashing in on a little bit of Halloween spookiness. The Halloween season is a hit now because it ranges from little kids. Not only little kids love it, but now adults love it. So there's something for everybody.
Now, I've been to the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party several times. And as an adult, you got to know if you're bringing your kids, this is at night at the Magic Kingdom. So if you have children who turn into a pumpkin after 8 p.m., this may not be for them. But if they're creatures of the night, your kids, and they will stay up until park close at 12 o'clock, it could be a lot of fun. And it's also a way to get several tons of candy at because they're very generous at the candy stations at the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party.
You are correct. That is one of my favorite events that Disney World hosts every year. And you have some people even bring their own suitcase to bring candy back. That's how much candy they hand out, because who doesn't love trick or treating at the Magic Kingdom?
We went in 2019, and this was and again we actually had that suitcase. I don't know who you were talking to, Melissa, about getting that intel on us, but we did have a suitcase full of candy coming back to us to Chicago from the Not So Scary Halloween party, and that took us all the way through the COVID shutdowns the following year. So you actually get a decent amount of candy from their sponsor. But it's almost like you get two flavors of Halloween experiences. There is the not-so-scary Halloween party. It's a little more fun at the Magic Kingdom. But you go to Universal Orlando, that's really, they're leaning into their heritage as the studio that gave you the monster movies.
Yes, they recommend that Halloween Horror Nights is for 13 and up, just because it is a much scarier experience. For those of you who, like myself, don't like to be scared, there are sidewalks that are your safe space. That way the characters and the actors don't come out and scare you there. But they do have 10 haunted houses that are based on popular movies. If you don't like the scary route, they also do an unmasking horror that's during the daytime, where you can go through the haunted houses with the lights on and explain what takes place at nighttime without being so scared.
That's actually a pretty good idea, because once you just explain the process of movie magic, it's interesting. It's no longer scary. And then when it comes to planning these trips, especially for something like Mickey's Not So Scary, this is dates on the calendar that you circle because they're unique and interesting. What is the demand like as you approach Halloween? And then how do you approach it as a vacation planner?
Well, these sell out every year. So there's actually a handful of dates already sold out for Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. Most of August is sold out, and Halloween has already been sold out, as well as another date in October. So the closer you get to these events, they are guaranteed to sell out every year. And those guests who are staying on property in Disney get to purchase these tickets prior to guests who are not on property. So it gives them a little bit of an advantage.
And then very quickly, how does Halloween on the High Seas by the Disney Cruise Line, how does that stack up to their observance on land?
So what they do is they have a Mickey's Masquerade Party. You can go trick-or-treating one of the nights on board the ship. They are encouraging for you to dress up in Halloween costumes. Halloween movies on the pool deck. This starts in September on select sailings and runs through October. The decor on these ships are just, there's nothing like it. And it's a full storytelling of the Halloween on board these ships.
Melissa McAllister, vacation planner with Ticket to Ride in Chicago. You can find her on Facebook and Instagram at Dreammaker Melissa. Thank you for joining us to talk about the Halloween observances that are starting right now at Disney World and Universal Orlando. Join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. And still to come, things are looking up for Chicago's Rosebud Restaurant Group.
Money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
At age 50, Rosebud Restaurant Group is staging a renaissance, reopening Carmine's, Taylor Street, and Naperville as it balances nostalgia with modern tastes and expansion plans. We welcome in Ali Marotti, restaurants and retail reporter, Crane Chicago Business. Allie, thank you for joining us today. And cashing in on nostalgia is a difficult balancing act for any restaurant group, and I would imagine Rosebud is part of that because people's memories of an establishment may not be powerful enough to actually get you in the door. So what is Rosebud doing to not only to capitalize on the next 50 years?
Yeah, that's a really great point. You know, and also I would add that not everybody wants to eat at the same restaurants that their grandparents ate at, right? Some do, of course, some don't. So it's kind of, you know, it's tricky. Eating out has gotten prohibitively expensive, too. So you definitely want to make sure you're getting people in and coming back, right? So what they think that they're the recipe they've found that they think will work is, number one, investing in themselves, right? They have no outside investors. So they have taken their profits and reinvested in these renovations. They are hoping that kind of this new modern interior to some of these restaurants will, you know, updated menu, updated drinks, that kind of stuff, mixed with some of the culture of the past and, you know, their tried and true menu items, as well as the fact that a lot of people do find pasta to be a good value. They're hoping all of that will kind of come together and work for them.
Is the dark dining room with maybe a candle on the table, wood paneling, brown cocktails, it seems like a tried and true formula over the decades, but is that still trendy today?
You know, in some places, yes. You know, I think for the Carmine's, which, you know, that building that it inhabited for 30 years was torn down and completely rebuilt. So it's going to be all new, very open. Big open second floor patio, indoor, outdoor. Same out in Naperville. The building was not rebuilt, but it's been, you know, a big renovation on the inside. It's flowy. The bar flows to the patio. You know, that kind of a thing is what people want, I'm told. But we should note that the Rosebud on Taylor Street in Little Italy, you know, it was refreshed, but it does still have kind of that old school vibe. The Frank Sinatra booth still exists in the corner with his photo hanging above it. So it's really a blend of that old and new that they're going for here.
Ali Marotti, restaurants and retail reporter, Crane Chicago Business. Thank you for joining us today. If you missed any part of today's program, just go to our stream and skip back to the time you want. There's a pause and rewind function that works both online and with the Odyssey app.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.